WBAI, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello.
Clayton.
Yes.
Hi. You said you want to talk to callers who know how to behave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess that means who you don't, who won't talk about things you want to cover up.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I'd like to talk about one incident in particular, and that was your role as a lying propagandist in a demonstration that took place at Epstein, Becker, Greer, or...
Green,
right.
Yeah, get it right.
Remember one morning in California, you said two people went in there, they ripped out the phones...
That's not what I said.
Let's go to the tape.
You said they ripped out the phones. Play the tape.
They ripped out the phones.
Play the tape.
It's available online to anyone who wants to go there and listen. And when they go there, they'll find out you were a lying propagandist
mm-hmm.
who made up the story, and I asked you what your source for that information was.
Yes.
What was it?
It was John Murdoch.
Oh, isn't that the board member who recently resigned?
No, it's not.
You don't have any information correct, do you?
You can't get names right. You can't get dates right. I think the information is correct.
You said there was a violent demonstration by two people who ripped out the phones there.
Yeah, it's true.
You said that. Oh, so now you've changed. You said,
no.
Play the tape for me. You always say, play the tape for me, and now you're admitting that you did say that.
No, I'm saying that it is true that that happened. Okay, you clear?
That the phones were ripped out.
It's true.
The people at the office who worked there said the phones were not ripped out.
Well,
if you go back to the news reports, when people went and finally checked.
They lied.
We'll leave it to the listeners to determine who the liars are on this network where there's a gag rule.
You're sitting on the time of a producer,
a progressive producer, who was kicked off the air because of his disagreement with the policies of Utrice Lead.
What time? What time was that? I have had
Al Lewis
for 2 years.
He's on 12. You've been sitting on his time
for
weeks.
It's 11:45, you fool. It's 11:45.
You were here on his time last week. So what? That's what you say.
Calm down, friend.
You said, so what?
You want to talk to me or you want to shout?
Well, your reaction to...
What I am saying to you is
there is
no gag rule right now because you are talking.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
The breaking of the gag rule as producers who are...
Go ahead.
Okay. Listen, I've been listening for since 1962.
Mm-hmm.
I know what the principles of free speech and free radio, that progressive values, anti-racism, anti-control by corporate cliques,
mm-hmm.
Exposure of the lies of the government, exposure mm-hmm. of the secret government.
Mm-hmm.
I know all about that. WBAI has been an important part in educating me.
Good.
But the thing is that they've taught me principles of asking questions and putting things up to my own analysis using logic and deduction.
Okay, well, ask
and
a
by
question.
By those standards,
ask a
you
question.
Guys all fall down.
Well, ask a question.
Where did you get the information when you said that the phones were ripped out?
I told you where we got the
information.
John
Murdoch, you spoke to Murdoch,
You're not listening.
It was about a few hours after that happened.
You're not listening.
It wasn't even in the press yet, so you had a communication with Murdoch.
Do you know who he is?
He's on... The Pacifica. He's one of the illegitimate members of
he
the
is
Pacifica
also,
board, the self-selecting board that changed the rules.
Do you want to
with their friends?
Do you want to listen at all?
Well, I also want to put out information
okay.
that some of the people listening may not know.
Let me respond. John Murdoch is a member of the firm you just mentioned. All right.
He's on the Pacifica board.
Yeah, but more important, he is a member of that firm.
The union-busting law firm.
Well, but this is the firm you say he doesn't have any information about? It's his firm. That's where the information came from.
Well, he certainly has motive to lie about it since he represents the illegitimate wing of the board against who was being protested at that time.
I think you should take the rest of your medication and say goodbye.
Well, Clayton, that's your answer to
goodbye.
Someone who...
BAI, you're on the air. Hello, you're not on the air. BAI, you
yes,
are on
I'm
the air.
Yes, Mr. Riley, how are
yes,
you?
Yes, I'm fine, thank you.
Good, I have a question for you.
Please.
Would you explain to me why do you take calls? I mean, why do you take calls from the audience?
Because I was expecting to hear from you.
Okay, good. Okay, well, that's a good reason to take them. No, because I noticed that In some cases, there are antagonisms between callers and you. And I was just wondering, is it necessary to take the
call?
No,
it's not necessary.
Because I would prefer to hear the music myself.
I know you would.
I would prefer to hear good music. You know, put on Mr. Bowie.
I understand exactly what you're saying, and I'm in thorough agreement with you. But the fact is that...
rebel music or something.
The charge that has been made... that a listener-supported commercial-free radio station does not give listeners an opportunity to express their views is not a charge that should be ignored. The fact is, when I say to people, look, there may be issues that ought to be brought up on the air that should be discussed. I don't think our previous caller, who does the same routine, I mean, I think this was a recording this morning, because he always says precisely the same thing. There's no news in any of that. I think there are people, however, who call for very particular reasons. Now, you mentioned, for example, and I think this is a great way to have a discussion. You mentioned Lester Bowie. We lost Lester Bowie, as you know, last year. His appearance, for example, and you know, his appearance in the Ken Burns series, it was jazz, it was on television, was for me, was an absolute gem. And it was heartbreaking in the sense that he looked so healthy, he looked so strong, he spoke so well, that it is unimaginable, in a way, that as we were seeing and listening to him, he was already gone. You know, we lost Ken McIntyre.
Yeah, last week.
And there's an obit in the Times today. And a picture of him, actually, a picture of him playing. And I did bring in, and at a point before we get out of here,
I want to hear that.
We'll do some, ordinarily, we'll break a rule right here. Ordinarily, I say we don't give titles. Where is that? We've got him playing with, did we bring that? My gracious.
Play a little Dolphy.
This is Ken McIntyre and Eric Dolphy.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll try and track that down and give you a taste. We don't give you a taste of it today. You certainly get a taste of it next week. I mean,
the names will only confuse me anyway. I just want to hear the music.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks.
At 11:50, we're moving on toward noon Saturday in New York. WBAI, you're on the air.
Good morning, Clayton.
Yes.
This is Free Speech Radio.
Yeah.
Is it not?
Yes, it is.
Therefore, you're going to very politely let me make my point and not interrupt me or call me names.
I didn't say I would do that.
Oh, you might call me names.
Well, I'm saying I'm not making any agreements with you on your terms alone.
Okay, well, will you permit me to make a point?
Up to a point, yeah.
Okay, then why don't I begin? Today, by the way, I must say, I find you in a pretty mellow mood.
Let's get to it, please. I don't need that. Just go on and say what you have to say.
Okay. I would like to say that, in my opinion, the gag rule is still in effect.
Well, how do you get to talk if there's a gag rule?
Well, I was going to say it, but you interrupted me.
No, I'm saying, I can interrupt you and it'll let you continue to speak.
Oh, okay, fine.
Okay, I'm saying to you, don't say there's a gag rule while you are talking. That's absurd.
Well,
I mean, that's just plain silly.
Well, if I can continue my
thought. Yes, you can.
Thank you. The gag rule in the Senate.
Okay, look, I'm going to stop you right there because you're really being foolish now. Don't tell me a gag rule if you're talking to me. That's just plain stupid, all right? Bring him back. Now, if you have something to say, say it. Okay, he's gone. I mean, isn't this absurd? Is this a junior high school? Don't talk about a gag rule if you come on the air and want to and have something to say. We're going to let you say it. But if you're going to start every sentence by saying, well, there's a gag rule, there's a gag rule, there's a gag... How do you get to talk if there's a gag rule? Hello.
Hello?
Are you there?
Hello?
Are you there?
I'm here.
You're there. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to ask why Grandpa's show isn't on.
Why don't you direct that question to the management of the station? They're the only ones who can tell you. I don't have anything to do with personnel decisions.
Okay, and there's a number to call for that during the week?
First of all, call the reception desk, 209-2800. You'll speak to Fred Theobald.
Okay.
Express your concern to him and ask him to connect you to the management.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye-bye.
WBAI, you're on the air.
Do you have any opinion on the recent resignations by the chair of the Pacifica Board?
Oh, yeah, I certainly do.
What do you think of it?
I think it's an example of the kind of behavior that in other times would have been called Nazism or fascism by people who take it upon themselves to harass people at home, to harass their children in school, to harass their spouse on the job with the most vicious, racist, and sexist commentary that is possible to imagine in our current sphere. And these are people who have the audacity to characterize themselves as progressives.
Well, don't you think that it has something to do with the failure of people on the Pacifica Board to conservatize the Pacifica Network?
I don't believe that. I don't believe that that charge is valid.
Well, I mean, like you have, you know, people like Michael Palmer and
who resigned.
Right, who resigned. And
yeah.
He was...
Don't talk about what he was, because he's not there anymore. So he's not part of the board. Okay,
right.
It doesn't matter what he wanted to do. He isn't there anymore.
Okay. So do you think that this actually strengthens the part of the Pacifica Board that was resisting the further corporatization of the...
Well, you know, you fling around terms like corporatization, and to be very blunt with you, I don't think you know what you're talking about. Let me tell you something. If I were sitting on that board now, do you know what I would be doing? I'd be opening negotiations to sell this radio station. That's what I would be doing, and that's what I would... Yeah, and I would encourage the board to do that so that this entire operation could be reconstituted without the fifth columnists who are operating here, without the vicious individuals who have functioned to destroy the lives of people simply because they disagree with them.
But, I mean, if they sold the radio station, then it would just be another commercial station.
No, it would not necessarily be that. If you want to talk about corporate sales, this is what happens. This is what happens with radio stations all over the country. Somebody comes in, buys a station is sold, and they rehire 80% of the people who are already there and carry on very much in the same way. That is what I think it would be reasonable for the Board of Pacifica to do, to get rid of the hate that is coursing through this radio station by selling it and hiring back people who are without that venom in them.
Can I ask you another question?
Sure.
The new acting chair is Ken Ford.
I don't know. I haven't heard that.
And he represents, or he's part of another grouping called the National Association of Home Builders.
Okay, so what?
So this is the group which is so anti-environmental that they were the ones that pressured the Bush administration into allowing the destruction of woodlands in order to create more suburban sprawl.
Mm-hmm.
So they could build... And you
object to that, right?
And he's the new chairperson.
And you object to that, do you not?
Oh, obviously.
Okay, well, aren't there...
Don't you?
Yeah, and I'm saying I don't know that he's been a part of it, but I'm saying this. If I object to it, I will use the procedures that are reasonable to voice that objection. Not by calling people's jobs, not by harassing people's children at school, and not by calling the job of a spouse and forcing her literally to resign from her job. I won't use those tactics, is what I'm saying. You want to be a Nazi, you want to be a fascist, you go ahead and be part of that.
So,
I am not going to.
So what tactics would you recommend to get rid of people that are... that have such conservative policies that they're...
Well, how do you know they have such conservative policies? How do you know that?
Well, the National Association of Home Builders...
Okay, what I'm saying to you, and you obviously did not hear John Murdoch when he appeared on this air, and what he said was, look, because he's part of a law firm that carries out... If you know anything about law firms, and particularly one of the larger ones, there may be many policies in the law firm with which you disagree. You can voice that disagreement within the policy directives of the station. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you work? Do you have a job?
Yes.
Do you work for anything like a corporation?
Well, at this point, a very small...
Oh, but you work in business, in the free enterprise system, do you not?
You could call it that.
Yeah, okay. Well, what I'm saying to you, when you talk about, you know, when you use a term like corporate vultures, what does that mean to people who work at the telephone company? What does that mean to people who work in civil service? Are they all vultures because they work for these people? If, in fact, they say, look, I work for the telephone company, I don't agree with all their policies. I try to express that as often and as vividly as I possibly can.
Right, but a lot of these people are spokespeople for those...
How do you know that? How do you know that? And if, in fact, that is true, send to me in the mail here at 120 Wall Street that an example of the statement that you've just made. I want to hear you tell me, what's the man's name, Ken Ford?
Is out there
making these expressions you've just accused him of making.
Making expressions? I said he's the chair of the Pacifica board, and he's an official of the National Association of Phone Builders.
You know, what you just said...
He's not a mere employee.
Okay, but you said he was out there... Could I get a word in here? I'm saying to you, you just made a statement about what his public statements are. I want to see those public statements. And the reason I want to see it is because if you're right, I'm on your side. But show me what he said. Okay? Right now, I want you to do something else for me. Okay?
Okay.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
WBAI, you're on the air. 12 noon exactly. Ooh, couldn't wait. WBAI, it's high noon, and you're on the air.
Oh, yes. Thanks for taking my call.
Why are you thanking me for taking your call?
Because this is supposed to be free speech radio.
Well, if it's free speech radio, you don't have to thank me for taking your call.
Well, I was just trying to be courteous.
Well, okay, fine.
But the way we would know that, as this gentleman was talking, the way we would know that these people are bad news is through class analysis. We know that they represent a certain class of people.
What should we do with them because they represent a certain class of people?
Well, we have to insist that they share the power of society.
Okay? Share the power of society.
Absolutely.
Explain that. I'm not sure.
You wouldn't be interested in that, I guess.
Well, I'm asking a question, friend. I am interested in it. That's why I'm asking you to tell me what that means.
Well, it's a very complicated thing.
Okay, if it's too complicated, let's drop it and let's move on to the next call. Okay? If it's that complicated, you can't explain it. There's no point us trying to talk about it. WBAI, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's just past noon, 12:01.
No, I heard you speaking earlier about Reuben Blades. I saw him last night in the film with Matt Damon. I think he was Reuben to me was the best thing in the film.
I can't remember the name of it.
Pretty Horses.
I've seen that film. Yeah.
I don't know, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, you put them all together there.
Reuben Blades is a very fine performer, both as a musician and an actor.
But yeah, what I thought about earlier was when you talked about the cops up in the Bronx where I come from. I know, was born and raised in the South Bronx, and I can remember the different musics that played in different neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And I often wonder, do the cops nowadays, a lot of them younger guys, what do they get out of their neighborhoods? Because I can remember you went to certain neighborhoods, you heard the James Brown, Temptations, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then you started moving up to neighborhoods where you might hear Sinatra and Perry Como.
Okay.
You know, so. And I know that up here on Linden Boulevard, I can ride around the car on Linden, and me and my buddies, we play this game where we'll look at each other and we'll go, Young Tom Hanks, Courtney Cox, the cast of Friends. And what we're talking about is we see the young, mostly white cops who are walking around these neighborhoods, and most of the people are Caribbean. And the cops are mostly, as I said, white.
Let me interject to say this. I think the story I was describing to you about my friend who did police training for a time was this. We can all learn Now, suppose I grow up in a neighborhood, or you grow up in a neighborhood, where all you hear day to day is James Brown, the Flamingos, the Temptations, Eddie James. Okay? Now, you get a job that assigns you to a neighborhood where people are playing Perry Como, Frank Sinatra, Vic Damone. Okay? Well, what I'm saying is, why not learn what it is about that music that is attractive to the people you obviously going to be working with every day? Because the fact is, if you love James Brown or Vic Damone or Frank Sinatra, you love them because they play music. You have to begin by loving music, not by saying, well, I only love jazz. Or I only love Frank Sinatra.
I
only love Bach.
I think our generation, I'm 46. You, maybe, or I guess around the same age. I think a lot of us grew up in the sense that I have respect for a lot of, because I have parents who were listening to Sinatra, Perry Como, the big band era.
Absolutely.
And I take it, these kids now, you're not going to tell me that the Bush daughters don't know every single rap record there is out on the chart.
I would guess you're right.
And I'm sure a lot of their friends do as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it may tick their parents off one hell of a bit, but I'm sure a lot of them know it.
Do you know where the largest sales of rap and hip-hop music are in the Northeast region?
I heard Young Suburban White.
That's right. That's right. That's where the power of this form comes from in economic terms. That's where the money is being spent. Now, some will tell you, well, it's rebellious kids trying to get back at their parents. And I'll tell you something. If you are a white suburban kid playing rap music at home, you are getting back at your parents. But the fact is that there are things in that form of expression that attract people for a variety of reasons. Now, my sainted younger brother is, in my judgment, probably the best mind on the history of rap and hip-hop that certainly I've ever encountered.
Are we talking about the younger brother I'm thinking of on the AM dot?
Yes, you got
yes,
it. Now,
definitely,
we have for 25 years been going at it about rap and hip-hop because when I say to him, man, I don't get it, okay? It doesn't reach me. He says, you're not paying attention. You're not listening. I am listening. And it's still not happening for me. Now, I can say to him, well, yeah, I remember, what was the group that did, I Lost My Wallet in El Segundo. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah,
I don't remember. Anyhow, I said, yeah, that was, I dug that. There were a number of pieces that I said, yeah, I can. The main thing for me was the experience of being in, outside.
Almost said the Clovers just now.
Well, hey, maybe the Clovers did an early version.
I didn't mean that.
I remember some years ago, I was in a smaller town just outside Milan, Italy. And turned on a station, a lot of music, an Italian radio. And I hear, grabs me, of course, because somebody's doing something in English. And I listen, and I say, wow, this is powerful stuff. And it was a solid hour of this artist's work. And at the end of that hour, I said, I've got to find out if I got to go drive down to this radio station with a translator. I got to find out who this is. And at the end of the hour, the person gave the name. Who do you think it was? And I consider this individual, I think you could make a case, certainly for me, of this being the Charlie Parker of the hip-hop rap generation. Who would you guess? I would say, let me add to it.
I know for a fact that in Oklahoma they teach a course on Tupac Shakur.
There you are.
You got it.
Tupac Shakur, in my judgment, as a performer, was a genius. Just no question about it. I mean, I listened to that hour, and I said, man, this is a powerful individual. Now, you know, one of the things, Tupac, as a young man, was trained as a theatrical performer, as an actor. And I think a lot of that early training came to play itself out in his work as a rap artist.
If you watch his films, and he's done a few of them. He was pretty damn good.
Yes, he was. He was. Well, you see, again, we're talking about performance art. We're talking about the ability to express oneself, not only for the moment, but consistently. You see, the thing about what impressed me about listening to Tupac that hour on Italian radio was not a single line in a piece, but it was the fact that over an hour he sustained a level of artistry that, in my judgment, was simply brilliant.
But once again, I know you got other callers, but
yeah,
what I meant earlier about with the police was that I have noticed some of them, and where I see them in a community, and I'm not saying all, but some, and I would notice that a lot of them seem to me to be scared. And when I was
they are scared.
And I'm talking about when I say around the people and the music. See, I'm used to, like you, I went to neighborhoods where, yes, you heard Sinatra, you heard Perry Como, then others, but I wasn't afraid. I knew these, and I wondered, do these guys come up where it's all quiet, and then all of a sudden they come to where there's people and there's liveliness and there's music, and they're like, oh my God, we need to call out a riot squad. What's going on? And I think some of them actually feel that way. It's like, it shouldn't be this is noise. I don't understand it. What's going on?
Now, listen, I'm going to take a break right now because I want, as we told you, now we generally don't give titles and artists here, but we do this because we've lost one of the major artists of our time. Ken McIntyre passed away, as you know. I want to play a piece from the compact disc issue, Looking Ahead, in which he performs with Eric Dolphy. We're going to take a brief break here to hear that and then come back to you. And incidentally, caller, thank you. That was a very
take care, my brother.
Engaging exchange. Thanks. All right, the music of Eric Dolphy and Ken McIntyre. We lost Ken McIntyre just days ago, actually. And there is a complete, I would call it, obit in today's issue of the New York Times. As I say, we, generally speaking, don't give titles. This is a good way to make an exception, however. Looking Ahead, Ken McIntyre, Eric Dolphy. Also featured with him, Walter Bishop Jr., Sam Jones, and Arthur Taylor. And this is from a recording made in the Rudy Van Gelder Studios. You wonder how a recording is already 40 years old. The sound is crisp. They have as much presence, really, as this. Think about the name Rudy Van Gelder, who ran studios over in Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey, for many years. And an awful lot of musicians, I'll tell you, there was something extraordinarily special about the work that he did with equipment that would now seem relatively primitive compared to, and incidentally, this is also a digitally remastered recording, but even with a kicking it up digitally, you've got to have something to work with in the origin of the material. All the digital work in the world isn't going to make chicken salad out of chicken spit, so to speak. Anyway, Eddie, before you split, can we get another couple of folks on the telephone? We're going to be joined in just a
Clayton,
few.
Clayton, I'm on the line.
Oh, you're still there?
Yeah.
Oh, you hung in. Okay, good.
Yeah,
all
I'm here.
Right.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say that you said earlier there's no gag rule.
No.
And you just gagged me.
No, I didn't gag you. We played some
music. You cut me off. I was trying to talk to you about it.
Do you want to talk or you want to talk about the gag rule? Because if you want to talk about the gag rule, we're going to cut you off again. If you got something to say,
well,
say it.
Okay. First of all, the people on the board represent a class of people who are not in the same category as this station was set up to help and to be the voice of.
When was the station set up?
It was set up in, and let's not be so worried.
Wait a minute,
about
I'm asking you a question.
In the 1940s.
Okay.
Okay.
So what you're telling me is that what prevailed in the 1940s should prevail now.
Well, the ruling class should not prevail, and that's what we're trying to fight against.
Okay, let me tell you. Let me respond to what you said. When Lou Hill set this radio station up, you do know that it was a segregated radio station. You did know that.
Well,
that's the fact.
Well, I don't know that to be a fact.
Well, it
okay?
is a fact.
I don't know that, but
if
that's true,
please let me finish.
Okay.
Nobody was involved in the earliest days of the Pacifica radio organization, if you will, but white males only. And that was the exclusive rule even when I was first at this radio station in the 1960s.
Okay?
And wait, let me finish. And I'm saying to you, what bothers me about this business of people saying, this is not what the station was originally set up to be, okay? Let's talk about what it was originally set up to be. And then we can talk about the people who changed that. Some white, some black, some male, some female. You should also remember that it was a male station in its origins, okay? So what we're saying is that there has been a long process of change at Pacifica.
Okay, and I agree with all the change, bringing women in, bringing blacks of all color. I believe so we believe that, okay?
Yeah, okay.
And now what Utrice has tried to do is to try to make it all black, basically.
No, no, no. That's not true.
She has said to over
How
the
can you say that?
Because
she Wait, hold it. No, no, you're not that point. Because
not?
That's not
she
true.
Said that white progressives were the problem.
Hey.
We were the problem.
Hey, white progressives such as Simon Lokely, such as David Rothenberg, okay? Such as...
He's on the station.
Yes. If you'd listen, maybe you don't listen. Peter Beauchamp, you know, you want to talk about progressives?
Yeah.
You think she'd run every white progressive out of here?
Well, obviously, she couldn't do it overnight.
Oh,
it couldn't happen overnight. But she's run. She said clearly that it was white progressives that were the problem. She said it a million times.
When did she say that?
During the
A million times? A million times.
Well,
let's get the number correct. Was it a million or a half million times?
You know, you try to do this
20,
all the time.
20 times.
30 times.
I want to hear
50
it.
50 times.
I want to hear it. I want you to send me a tape of her saying what you just said she
well,
said.
Well, don't you keep archiving?
No, but I'm saying I don't want to look it up. I want you to do that.
Well, I'll get it for you.
Please do.
I will. But this, it's really over, you know.
What's
the fight
over?
Is over.
What's over?
The fight.
What fight?
Over BAI.
What do you mean it's over? What does that mean?
You guys are gone.
Really? I'm here.
No, it won't be much longer.
Oh, really? What's going to happen? You're going to come in with machine guns next time?
No,
one of the people who came in and attacked Paul DiRienzo?
Well, that's a big lie by Paul DiRienzo.
What do you mean it's a big lie?
Because Paul attacked
Have you seen the scars? How do you know that? How do you know that? How do you know that?
Because I believe that this
guy
came in.
Yeah, you believe. Okay, we're from knowing to believing now, are we not?
He wasn't even a member of our group, okay?
What group is that?
Just a group of people, of listeners.
Wait a minute, you said our group. I want you to identify that group for me.
The people who support the listeners of this radio station.
Okay, well, what was this guy doing in the station?
He came there to interview to see what happened.
What do you mean he came there to interview whom?
The station, you know, people at the station. He came to interview the people.
Well, on what?
And Paul DiRienzo. Wait a minute.
On what ground did he come here to interview anybody without saying that he was coming to interview?
Well, he heard through, you know, that's how news people work. If you don't know that, you should.
What do you mean?
Something was up, and he went to the station to find out what was going on. Walked in, and Paul DiRienzo attacked him.
That is absolutely not true.
Well, that's. Well, I know that's not true. Because that's where it's at right now.
It's not true.
But it is.
That's not true.
All right.
Who gave you that information?
Yeah, it's widely disseminated.
Wait a minute. I'm asking you, who gave you that information? Say goodbye.
Here we go again.
Say goodbye.
No,
so long. I'll say goodbye for you. Let me say goodbye for the listener, and hello to you.
Hey,
you're on the air.
How you doing, Clay?
I'm alive.
Listen, I'm a media person. I would like to at one point come in and interview you. I have credentials, and this is Reverend Johnson.
Yes, I know. Reverend Johnson, I want to get back to something with you.
Yeah.
Because you still haven't clarified this for me. There'd be no interview with me until you do clarify this. I want you to explain to me what you mean when you say restore democracy at WBAI. When we clarify that, then we can talk about an interview.
Okay. Can I answer that after I say something?
No. I want you to add to that now, and then we'll move on.
Well, this is one of the reasons why I want to get an interview from you, because there has been a lot of misinformation put out.
For example, give me an example.
Well, basically, from what I pick up, is that people are trying to make this an issue between Utrice, Amy Goodman, a black and white issue, Lou Hill, the white Quaker progressive who started this station, who was a pacifist, and I happen to have a lawsuit against the New York yearly meeting of Quakers presently. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of people who love this station and have supported it historically and traditionally.
What does that have to do with your statement about restoring democracy?
Well,
that's
it has to do with my statement that certain information was put out to me by email by people calling the station and literature that I've collected. And I have spoken to people on both sides, and really the situation is that there is a concerted effort to put out information to destroy this station, and that I won't have the access to the airwaves like I'm speaking to you now.
But what is this information? To be specific about, because I'm not clear what
you're... being put out that certain people are for the station and against the station. They want to bring back certain people. They don't want the new changes, and they're trying to make it a black and white issue. And the real issue is to stop this being media where people could get correct, progressive, positive, revolutionary, mind-blowing, changing things to progress ourselves as a community in this city and in this country.
Well,
and
who's stopping that? Because that's what I'm unclear about in
your
statement.
Well, it's misinformation being put out
by
dissidents.
Give me an example. What's the example of that?
The people are saying that Grandpa Lewis was fired, Bernard was fired for certain reasons, and the real reasons are not coming out. And
well,
they're trying to
why don't you tell me what the real reasons are? And let's be very specific now, since you put it on this level. You say that the real information about why these people were fired has not been fired. Tell me what it is, because I'm not clear what you're saying.
Well, what I'm saying is people are highly reluctant to change, and they see a black woman who has an education, who has been endorsed by John Henry Clark and other people in position now as a manager, transitional manager, who's cleaning house and taking no prisoners. And if this is the positive way that the station's going, and the negativity has been created through the mass media at the congressional level, the state level, and the listener-supported level, then dissidents have been created with wrong information. And if this information don't get out, then the people who should be supporting Latrice or who should be supporting Bernard and don't know really what's going, because there's been a CIA, FBI-backed misinformation campaign put out, then I might be going against Latrice for a reason that I don't have the right information for.
Okay,
and what I'm
Reverend,
saying that there needs to be some clarification.
Okay, Reverend Johnson, first of all, let us please say Utrice, you know, that her name is Utrice Lead, okay? So let's be clear about that. Second, your point about misinformation is well taken, in the sense that we know that an awful lot of information that's spilling around. I read some things, incidentally, on the web the other night that, you know, would make it make satire. You know, you read these things, and you have so many people who sound like, you know, disgruntled junior high school kids, as we mentioned before. You know, the kind of kids who like to go down to the principal's office and throw a wad of bubble gum up against the door and then race down to the lunchroom and tell the kids at the table how they've created a revolution. So we know all of that is going on. The so-called dissident community, the so-called exile community, I think has an awful lot to answer for, not just in terms of putting out bad information, but for acts that I would characterize as acts of treachery. This caller just now talking about Paul DiRienzo attacking somebody, which is preposterous on the face of it. Paul DiRienzo was here doing his job when a group of people who were not authorized to be in here, which is one of the reasons we have a security system at the door, someone in here on this staff let those people in to create a disruption. As a result of that, Paul DiRienzo was attacked and injured, as I understand the account from several people.
Well,
now, to turn that around and talk about Paul saying, gee, instead of doing the news, I think I'll run out in the hall and attack somebody. It's just absurd.
Well, Clayton, let me say this about the musician brother McIntyre who passed away.
Yes.
I firstly tell people, if you haven't seen Nothing But a Man, if you haven't seen Black Orpheus, if you haven't seen The Harder They Come, if you haven't been down to Slugs or been down to the Queen of Hearts in the 60s in Jamaica or anywhere in the diaspora where jazz mania or jazz greats like the great Cedric Brooks, Rene Prophet, his father, Jackie McLean, you know, Carlos won the seafood restaurant. He heads up down in the Village. And I've seen all these cats play right there on 9th Street at Carlos One Jamaican Seafood Restaurant. And I know you used to go to these places. When we have giants who play this music throughout the diaspora, the European diaspora, Japan, anywhere. I've been up in the Congo, Kinshasa, everywhere you go. Rap music. Reverend.
Yeah. This is it. Look. Write to me if you want to pursue that business about the interview. Write to me here at the station. We'll see, and I'll get back to you. We'll see what we can do about that, all right?
But let's get these dissidents and the people who don't really know what's happening and don't know what team they should be playing on, because I find out that I'm not going to destroy a black woman, or I'm not going to destroy Al Lewis.
Okay.
Or Bernard.
All right.
You know, or Amy.
Okay.
I'm going to be neutral, but this station has to remain a vehicle for people to say, free the Vieques Four and look out for the people who are suffering.
Thank you.
God bless.
It's 12:30, straight on, here at WBAI 99.5 FM from the city. And obviously, we have... Oh, was that a call? I thought there was a signal to us or something. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon, everyone. Clayton, I am going to ask you again to rescind your two-minute rule.
Why? Why are you asking me to do
that? Well, it smacks of being unfair to freedom of speech.
Well, you have violated every principle of freedom of speech.
No, I haven't.
Well, that's my view.
I know.
And it's my show.
Now,
if you want to exercise your freedom of speech, Monroe, why don't you, as you frequently do, call other programs and do that?
But
all I'm saying...
I do, but I'm trying to talk with an intelligent person.
I don't want to talk with you. Don't you understand that?
What?
I don't want to talk with you. What I have said to you...
I don't understand. You were ready to die for me, but you don't want
to
talk to me.
Do you want to listen to me for a moment?
Of course I want to listen to you.
Okay, well then be quiet and listen.
I've been listening to the program.
Let me say this. I have said to you before, I'm not interested in having a conversation with you.
Well, that's what's wrong with you.
What I am offering to you is 2 minutes for you to express yourself.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead.
Well, Clayton, I happen to like you and I like everybody until they get me to a point where I am oppressed. Now, I've been oppressed by what's happened at the station. You know, I was like the second caller in who supported the changeover in terms of going from Valerie Van Isler, who I didn't really care for, to Utrice Lead. And I said, Utrice is an inside person. She knows the personnel. She has a very lovely program. I didn't agree with her on many occasions. We discussed things on the air. We maintained a very high degree of cordiality. And the point of it is that then I had to change my feelings towards her by the virtue of what she said. She termed what people say that disagrees with her as on the report to the listener as vomit. Now, I never would say that what you say is that, and I don't think you would say what I've ever said to you is that.
But she chose to say that, which was the most unfortunate. The point I'm trying to make is that I and other people who disagree with how things are going would like to get with you, our disagreeers, and work it out instead of this constant goings-on, because it's obvious that this must be a freedom of speech station. It must care about society and not just the privileged. We're ready to do anything. I'm glad the station is multiracial, multi-everything, ethnic. I happen to like...
20 seconds, Monroe.
Clayton, I appeal to you to stop this because it only undermines your position. You know what I mean? I have you as a timekeeper. You want to go into boxing or something?
Say goodbye, Monroe.
I'll cut it out.
Okay, 12:33 and 40 seconds. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, Clayton.
Yes.
A question, good morning.
Good morning.
A question, please.
Yes.
What you think makes people house Negroes like yourself?
Gee, let me ponder that for a moment.
I'm still here, okay?
Okay,
the only reason I put on the accent was because I knew you would hang up.
Okay, let me
on
ponder.
Let me ponder
that for a moment. No, don't cut him off.
What I had to say, okay?
Go on.
Now it's my turn.
Go on.
Yeah, what? You're going to let me speak, you hoodlum?
Yes.
You lowlife?
Go on and speak.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay, you know, if Malcolm X was alive today, he would come up there and spit in your face.
Okay.
And furthermore, he would take you, Therese, and throw her out because you people are nothing but house Negroes.
Ah.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll just continue. You are shamelessly using people who have been screwed over by the society.
Screwed over?
That's right. You have exception with that?
No.
Who have been taken advantage of.
Taken advantage of.
What are you paraphrasing?
I'm just emphasizing.
Why are you emphasizing?
Because I want to.
You don't think it's true?
Because it's my program.
You know, you are one a-hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on. What else do you have to say?
The point of it is what you're doing, okay? You're using people. You're telling people.
Who am I using?
Well, if you shut up and let me talk.
It's my program,
I don't care. You know, let me talk. What are you afraid of?
Go ahead and talk.
You're known to be a loose cannon around
yes,
the station.
Yes, that's absolutely. No, don't cut him off.
You've insulted. You've ruined Amy Goodman's show. You are a swine.
Who's
your behavior is that of a lowlife.
Yes, I agree. What do you want me to do?
You're a loose cannon.
What do you want me to do about
this? You're well known around the station and not to be particularly mentally well.
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. You don't let people finish.
I'm letting you finish.
Oh, fine. My point is this. You're trying to use the race card. You're taking advantage of people who have been taken advantage of. Well, unless my memory doesn't serve me, Bernard happened to be black. Okay?
Happened to be black?
That's right.
Was this an accident of history?
Listen,
you mean his parents had nothing to do with it?
Yeah,
it was just an accidental occurrence.
So
somebody said, I want these people to happen to be black.
So
not to be black.
Marksman black, okay?
Really?
These people...
Wait a minute. Are you sure about that?
These people...
Are you certain about that?
Unlike yourself...
Are you sure about what you're saying?
You are a house Negro.
Yes.
You want to take...
Proud to be. Proud to be a house Negro.
Yeah, you are a house
Absolutely,
Negro.
Absolutely, and I'm proud of the fact.
Why?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get T-shirts. I'm going to get a baseball cap.
Why has
I'm going to get a zip-up jacket.
Repudiated the station. Why have labor unions repudiated the takeover?
Who? Who?
It was Utrice Lee who
what
said
labor
at a staff
union?
Meeting that BAR is no longer the station of the left. What does that mean?
What labor union?
I asked you. It was Utrice Lee who...
Labor union.
It was Utrice Lee who said this station is no longer the station
you
of the left.
You mentioned labor unions. I want you to tell me which
I want you to tell
one.
Me about the managing aide, the manager's statement. The station is no longer the station
Clean
of the left.
Clean your
what
cage.
Does that mean?
Take your medication.
Mean?
I don't care what it means, and
you
I don't care about
you.
You
don't care what it means?
No.
Why, you stupid?
Yes.
Because if she's in control and she says that this is no longer a progressive station and the left is linked with progressiveness, that means that the
dissidents
will have to be in the majority.
Why are you shouting?
Correct.
Why are you shouting?
You are a pirate who has happened to take
Why
it over the radio station.
Why are you shouting the way you are?
You are demanding tribute by people who have listened to
demanding
this station
tribute.
For years. And if they don't
I
pay,
want
you are threatening.
Tribute.
You and
if
the Christian
no
crew are threatening
there's
to
no
sink
radio.
The station. You are contemptible.
Let's get rid of this guy.
And your
Let's
time
get
is
rid of this guy.
Hello?
Oh, we got somebody else?
Yes, you do.
Are you on this guy's team?
You know what? I was just making what we call a dura. That's a short prayer, you know, seeking refuge.
Okay, but let me open up by saying that. This is what we're dealing with. This is the kind of madness. This is the kind of fascistic overplay that we're dealing with here all the time. People who think it's appropriate to attack members of this station... People who think it is appropriate to harass people in their homes, to harass their children at school, and to harass their spouses.
Well, you know, despite all the wrong that you're making mention of, it makes up America, you know, because they can't do it in most other countries.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know.
Now, but I just want to make a point about
yeah.
this. You
yeah.
say to the guy, okay, you can speak.
Right.
Go ahead and talk. And what do we get? We get this flame of pond scum roaring across the radio because this guy is clearly out of his tree, cannot control himself. We said, look, just go ahead and talk. And what we get is this screaming, inflammatory foolishness, name-calling, you know, just hollering and hollering and hollering. And this is the whole point. This dissident community, this community of people who claim to be, the station in exile, talk about wanting to negotiate what? What are you going to negotiate when you have maniacs like this representing you? And, incidentally, you just don't disown them, you know? To say, as a previous caller said, that a member of this station ran out, having nothing better to do than his broadcast, ran out and attacked somebody, is the level at which we're having to deal. And I will say this very bluntly, and let the chips fall where they may. If people believe that Amy Goodman or Robert Knight or anybody else here are beyond criticism because of what? All right?
Yeah.
People say to me, you can't talk to a white woman like that. This is what people wrote to me. You know, an Anne like you, Clayton Riley, isn't fit to sit in the same room with Amy Goodman. Well, why not? Is she so sacred? Is this Saint Amy we're dealing with? Or just another human being? Flesh and blood like all the rest of us. That's all we're saying. I'm saying, and I've said this from the beginning, if anybody here was fired inappropriately... Fine, let the case come forward, and if that is true, I would say they ought to be back. I have signed petitions in that regard. I have participated in staff meetings in which that point was made.
Well,
so to say that we are against this process is absolutely absurd. The fact is, I am not going to sit here and have somebody tell me that because Amy Goodman is a white woman, you can't say anything to her, you can't criticize her. Well, that's not happening here. Let's be clear about it. I'm sorry, brother. I shouldn't.
No. It's all good because you know there's information and there's misinformation, and it's all about you know how you take it and you assimilate it. You know, so it's all good. You know. What I really called you about is about Professor Ken McIntyre.
Yeah, isn't that sad that that he has passed? A brilliant, brilliant musician.
Oh, certainly.
I don't know him as an academic. Perhaps you do and can tell
us something. Yes, I do. And it's fortunate that I happened to turn you on at the time that I did to hear about it. Yes, I know him as a professor in his academics out at the State University of Old Westbury. I attended Westbury during a time when they was calling it a traditional bypass school. Those who went to the service, Vietnam, young mothers who wanted to continue their education, as well as the traditional student. and Professor Ken McIntyre was in charge of the music department out at State University of Westbury. And at that time, what he and the rest of the staff was doing was so great that his department was compared to Juilliard.
Hmm.
And they said that what you got at Old Westbury as a result of Professor Kid McIntyre and his staff in your freshman year, you didn't get it until the third year at Juilliard.
Wow.
That's how serious, you know, he was about the music as well as the academics, because he definitely wanted it to be balanced.
I urge you to read the obituary in today's New York Times. And also, if you haven't gotten it, I think this is a particularly rich example of his work. The piece we played from today is called Looking Ahead, and it is his work with Eric Dolphy.
Well, to show you how things happen, and everything happens for a reason, I'm not a subscriber to the New York Times, but you know, in my neighborhood, there are many subscribers, and I went to the door prior to coming and turning on the station, and in front of my door there was a New York Times. So I'm going to, you know, I'm going to follow through and read that. But what I wanted to ask you, if you have information, or if you can get the information in terms of arrangements, if you know, if the brother hasn't been already interred, could you make an announcement?
We will certainly speak to that as soon as we know.
Okay, and I'd like to, you know, say...
Hapti Selassie is telling me that this funeral, the services are today. Hapti, you know where the...
It was at the Presbyterian Church at 141st Street.
At the Presbyterian Church at 141st Street. Apparently the services, I would gather, have ended by now. I wish we had known that earlier and been able to share that information.
I'd like to end with sending out condolences to Tashi McIntyre, his wife, who also in her own right is a brilliant educator.
Okay.
You know, and to those of his colleagues who work with him and the students who benefited from, you know, his knowledge, you know, let's try to keep his work and his concern for the humanities alive.
Well said.
Okay, bro?
Thank you.
Thank you, too.
Okay, it's 12:45 WBAI. We're going to be here until 1:30. At that time, Radio Free Aaron. We'll be broadcasting until 3 o'clock, and Gut Bucket Matinee from 2 to 6, and Liquid Sound Lounge at 6 p.m. this evening. So stay tuned for all of that. It's good stuff coming. WBAI, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hello?
Yes.
Oh, Mr. Ray, so glad I got through. I just wanted to say... to Monroe, if you wanted an example of what Utrecht meant by emotional vomiting, that previous call was a perfect example. An individual that is in desperate need of Armand DeMille's help. I mean,
well,
I might disagree with you on many points, but I will never disrespect myself or you, by spewing such venom.
Mm-hmm.
Would you? I mean, I feel like I need to take a shower after that. And I have to compliment you on your patience with that individual who definitely does not deserve to dirty the airwaves of this station. Let me just say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I don't know what's going on, and I'm sure the reason why this, you know, the gag was there for exactly what that individual has done.
But well, let me explain something about the gag rule, as it is so called. This you, I think, would find in virtually any workplace. We haven't said that people can't call up and discuss any number of issues.
Mm-hmm.
What has been called a gag rule was imposed when it was felt that internal matters involving personnel at the station shouldn't be discussed on the air for a very good reason. In fact, there were lawsuits in progress. There were union grievances in progress, and in fact, the cases of those people would be compromised if a lot of discussion about those cases was carried on over the air.
If, for example,
you're saying, look, I've got a grievance against the union, I think I was inappropriately fired, You don't want that disgust, all of the information brought out that perhaps ought to be confined to that union grievance procedure. And all that was said was that these areas of the personnel matters of the station won't be discussed on the air. That doesn't mean that you can't talk about the station. That can't. Doesn't mean you can't disagree, because people have been doing that ever since there's been a station here.
Right.
But there were certain areas that, for the protection of people, certain prohibitions had to be instituted. And the sad thing is that the people who said, well, I was fired inappropriately, I was banned inappropriately, didn't understand that you don't want that discussed on the air by people who do not have access to information that is accurate.
Right.
You don't want people making comments that, again, would compromise the case that you're bringing.
Right.
So that's
like
what that gag rule business is all about.
Right, but what I'm trying to say is that the complete picture is not, like, I'm not aware of the complete picture of what's going on back there, so all that I have to go by is, like, past experience. Like, I've been listening to Retreats for a while. I've learned a lot by her, and I totally respect her opinion. I trust her. And I have to say also that I listened to Amy Goodman for a long while, and I've learned a lot by her. And also, I've listened to Grandpa Lewis for a long time, and I learned a lot from them. And, you know, I hear both sides of the issue. One person's calling this name, that name, and you know what? I don't form my opinions by secondhand knowledge, and all I could go by is my past track record. I've listened to you, Teresa, a lot of times. And I listened to Grandpa a lot of times. I've listened to Paul D'Arienzo when he worked nights. You know, I love him. He's great. And, you know, when I hear somebody, especially with that last caller, I mean, I love Amy Goodman. When I heard that she was threatened, you know, like, not threatened, but, like, her position at the VA was compromised, I got kind of nervous. But when I hear people like that support Amy Goodman using such foul language,
yeah.
I mean, you know, that kind of makes me wonder. It's like, does Amy know that this is what kind of people are supporting her?
Well, I hope
you
not. Let me say also.
That's something that really concerns me, because I love Amy. I learned so much from her. And when I hear people like that, who can't have an intelligent conversation, I mean, look, I could disagree with you without disrespecting you. I wish Grandpa was on, because I love him. But, you know, a lot of things that you say I agree with, but some things I disagree with.
That's fine.
I know we can have an intentional conversation about it. We don't have to insult each other.
Let me say
this.
Because
it brings down the whole tone of BAI. And, you know, as far as change is concerned, BAI has to change.
It's like
evolution. If you don't change, you're going to wither on the vine. You're going to fail. But I think what people are worried about is that it's a change for the worse. I look at it, if I see BAI continue to be diverse, like, perfect example, when the person said that, it's going to be all black, what program is following you?
Irish program. Radio Free Aaron. Yeah. When you try to point that out to people, I don't know. Listen, I'm going to move on to another call.
Caller,
one moment. Just let me say that to you. I have many disagreements with Amy Goodman, but I don't have any hesitation in saying that on 2 days this past week, Amy Goodman offered programs that were as fine, two fine examples of journalism. I won't go into the details, but there were two programs on this air this week that were superb examples of what radio journalism can be. I don't have any qualms about saying that. I do disagree with her on a number of other issues. I, in fact, disagree with many of the things that were said by Al Lewis in the weeks leading up to his being taken off the air. But I also know that Al Lewis has done remarkable work among people who have been incarcerated. He's been involved in the effort to have the Rockefeller drug laws rescinded. So we can appreciate all that. But there is a way, and I think this is the center of your point. There are ways to disagree.
Exactly.
And ways not to. Listen, thank you very much. I've got to move on.
Go ahead. Only thing. As long as BAI continues to be as diverse as possible and speak truth to power, believe me, brother, you could do whatever you want to the station. Change your whole staff if you want, as long as BAI continues to be diverse. I mean, I heard somebody recently, I'm Haitian American, and I recently heard somebody said that there's no Italian programming. You know what? Bring it on, because the more we learn about, other cultures, is the more that we learn about ourselves. And speak truth to power, because I swear to God, you are the only station that I could get truth and information to help me deal with the fantasy that everybody likes to put out about America. Meanwhile, the truth, what's really going on is hidden. Every, you know, like with TV and cable and MTV, you know, everybody is being blinded by this fantasy of America of, you know, freedom for all and, you know, America the great, the powerful, and you know,
they're
all great.
Thank you for calling.
I took too much time. Take care and have a positive day.
Hey, I appreciate your call. Okay, WBAI, as we move toward 1 o'clock, Clayton Riley on time with you. Hapti Selassie is at the controls. What's happening? We got somebody? Hello? Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. We're going to do... Hello, you're on the air. Hello? I guess that person's not on the air. Let's try this person. WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I'm calling to speak in reference to the people who are currently on the board, some of them. I wanted to say that when it comes to putting people on the board who represent interests of that kind, of the National Association of Home Builders, for instance, who are so far from the ideas that the station has trumpeted and supported throughout the years. Now, there are thousands of people who have been active, who have track records in the movements for social justice and equity throughout the country, throughout the world, who would be ideal candidates, people with decades of involvement in activism.
Give me an example of who you would like to see on the board.
David McReynolds, Medea Benjamin, Noam Chomsky, many progressive lawyers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me
to name a few things.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. All right, have you ever communicated this to, say, Noam Chomsky or David McReynolds, any of these people, that they should be on the board?
Well, these are just three or four examples.
Well, have
of
you
the
encouraged
of people?
But well, have you encouraged anybody to be on the board? Who have you encouraged to be on the board in the place of the people you think ought not to be there?
Well, maybe I should go out and start speaking to some of these people who
Absolutely.
Are easily reachable in the New York area.
Absolutely, you should do that.
Yes, but the point is that, for instance, in the winter, I heard an interview of a person was discussing the activities of the National Association of Home Builders in reference to their anti-environmental activities and in reference to their lack of support for compliance with the Americans with Disability Act and regarding building homes that have access for disabled persons. And then there are some of the, that's Ken Ford, I believe. Then there are other people on the board who buy and sell radio stations, who support union busting, anti-union activities. Why should people like this be considered as suitable board members when there are tens of thousands, literally?
Caller, may I interject to say this? You're reinventing the wheel here. We recognize your point that there are people on the board you feel ought not to be there. That is the fact. Now, going over and over that doesn't change anything. If you want new people on the board, you have to join perhaps with others who feel the same way and promote the candidacy of other people. It's fine to say you got union busters on the board, you got anti-environmentalists on the board. That's terrific. If you recognize that, what are you going to do about it?
Well, I think that I should support the efforts of those people who are opposed to having...
Yeah, but are you supporting the efforts of harassing people on their jobs? Are you supporting the efforts which has driven a couple of people off the boards by harassing their children at school? Is that what you're supporting?
I do not know whether or not that has taken place.
Well,
I have heard
why do you assume that it hasn't taken place?
You
because you don't want to believe it.
I don't say I don't. I'm just saying, look, I was just thinking while I waited for the call to be picked up. In a week, it will be just 6 months since the current phase of the struggle around BAI and Pacifica started in the week before Christmas. I must say that while I don't know whether any ad personam type remarks have been made by anyone opposing the current status of the board have actually been made, I would
Listen to me for a moment. What you've done, I find really disturbing for this reason, because you're saying to me, I am going to believe what it is comfortable for me to believe, and
no,
I'm going to deny everything else.
That
is exactly what you're saying. Let me finish, please. We let you talk, okay? I'm saying to you that when John Murdoch was on this air with Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez, he made a number of things very clear about statements they had made, about positions that had been taken, about activities that were going on. And I continue to hear people say, well, I don't know whether that's true or not. You don't know whether it's true or not because you don't want to believe it. You have taken a position, you have hardened your position, and you refuse to hear anything else but that position. I am willing to suggest, and this is where I think we depart, I am willing to suggest that there are a number of positions to be examined on both sides of this divide. I don't think if I discover it is true, and I have not discovered that yet, that somebody is on the board who is a virulent anti-environmentalist, that I would support that person. I haven't had evidence presented to me, however, that this is true. When I said to people, for example, and I think you are an example of what I mean. When I said to people that over a period of approximately 6 weeks, I was called on this air in the most vicious and ugly terms imaginable, the N-word, not a single protest came forward. Not one. Not you or not anybody else who listens to this radio station felt that was inappropriate. And yet you get on the air and say, well, I hear that this guy is part of the National Home Builders Association, so we should send him to jail.
Did I say anything like that? He is someone who is on an organization, a trade association, that engages in activities.
Does he engage in that activity?
Look, it's a matter of what
I'm asking. Could I get a question? Could I get a question answered? That's like saying that everybody who is affiliated with the phone company is a corporate vulture.
That is not a germane argument.
Of course it is a germane argument. We have heard people on this air denounce corporations. Well, what about people who work for the phone company? What about people who work for IBM?
You know perfectly well that activists throughout the decades have looked upon the workers and corporations as people who were not being paid enough, didn't have any benefits, needed unions, and needed to support them to help them organize or join unions, etc. So the person, Mr. Smith, who works for the phone company in some capacity in a lower echelon job.
What about in an upper echelon job?
When a person gets to be reaches a status where they are considered for such jobs and they are willing to take such jobs despite the negative activities of an organization.
So they should let their family starve to death and not take the job. They should let their family starve to death and not take the job.
Look,
what do you do for what work have you done in your life?
I became very early on, because of reading I did in elementary school, junior high, and college, of the mind that I would try to work for organizations or educational institutions that were doing beneficial work for people in general and at large. And
What did you do for a living?
I worked in libraries. And I
worked for the government.
Not necessarily. They weren't all. There's not time to start going through
You worked for the government if you worked for the library.
Talking about public libraries. Okay, you want a list? I worked for a state library, which was very large. I worked for a college library. I worked for a law library. I worked for a social science and geography library.
Did you ever quit a job?
Commercial picture Nature Library.
Did you ever quit a job because you disagreed with the policies?
I was very careful to see what sort of organization I was affiliating myself with.
I see.
And I was sent down on interviews, for instance, years ago to a very prominent, still existing pharmaceutical company in New Jersey, which wanted a library assistant, and I declined after politely going to the interview. Also, when I was spending 3 years on the West Coast, I was sent to a very large technological library.
Okay, Carla, this makes you a much better person than the ordinary folks in the street.
I'm not trying to.
Well, I think you are. The fact is that a lot of people, and we had an example of it when John Murdoch was on the air and made it very clear that he did not agree with all the policies of his law firm. And he did not participate in certain areas of activities
why?
Of the law firm.
Then why
you are
did,
saying, you
why
are,
didn't he
finish.
Join a public interest law firm?
Why should he?
A,
because you tell him to do that. Why should he do that?
Are you fight the, for compensation.
Wait a minute. Are you the dictator of what jobs people should take now?
Of course not.
Why yes, you are.
Why say anything that could be taken?
You just said, why didn't he take...
for that kind of...
Why didn't he take a job, you said, with a public interest law? Who are you to tell him what kind of
I'm
job to take?
I'm just saying, this is certainly what many people
Don't
coming out of law
shout.
School are doing today.
So what?
But the point is...
Wait a minute, I'm going to ask you, just because the people who are coming out of law school are doing that, so what? You mean, you're saying that you will decide what decisions people can make about their career choices? That's going to be your
Anyone
decision?
Anyone listening would hardly be able to say that I made any such statement or implied
okay.
any such
Well,
thing.
I was listening, and I'm going to say goodbye to you.
No, well, wait
Thank
a
Thank you
minute.
Very
Hello?
Much for calling. No,
just
we're not waiting.
Thing.
Goodbye.
When I support...
Lord. WBAI, you're on the air.
You're a bunch of communist creeps.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I've been waiting for you to call. What took you so long? My gosh. This is the radio station of communist creeps.
That's right.
I thought that guy was never going to call.
You and your stupid brother.
Yeah, right.
But he gets paid. Does he get? But he gets paid less than you because you know what WLIB pays.
Right. Does your mother get paid for turning tricks? Is that what your mama does?
What my
okay.
mama does?
No, the caller who was just
no,
on.
No, I know.
Start
I
talking
know.
About my brother. You're entering some dangerous territory. Okay. You're on the air.
Okay, I'm on the air. And
brand new slate.
Yeah, right.
All right, we're starting for the beginning. Yeah.
I'm completely aside from all that. This is something about the N-word. Because
yes.
I think I was born in 1938. And...
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of these goddesses, the white woman. I'm a white woman. But I was brought up never to say that word. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that was the only... I was allowed to do just about anything at home.
Doesn't it?
But that word was...
Okay. Let me ask you then, as a listener to WBAI, what do you think about the fact that from approximately the end of January until sometime in May, actually, this word was used... directed at me.
Oh, yeah, I used to
10 times
yeah.
on the air.
I know.
And not a single person here ever protested.
Well,
not one.
Another thing, though, is another point that you brought up sideways along the way about the rap music going out to middle-class white kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was back in Princeton where I came from a couple of weeks ago, and everybody was yelling all this, hey, where's my, et cetera, and words. And only one of them was of any color at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, the N-word has become something that the Chinese people, all kinds of stuff now. But, I mean, it's still to me, when I hear my teenage or my 21-year-old son play stuff like that, I'll be like, honey, you know, I really don't. And
yeah.
actually, I lost many millions because of the N-word, and this is my story. Years ago in the 60s, I used to like to smoke the herb, and I would get very...
The herb, you say?
Yes, the herb. And I would get very smart insights that I ordinarily wouldn't, which is why I bothered to do it. And I was sitting around with a friend, and his
that
sister...
Sounds like fun.
Oh,
gee,
was. Man. His sister had recently married a dealer, which we all didn't like. We didn't, you know. We
I
thought,
don't know. Do we want to go down this path?
Oh, please. It's really okay. And he said that his his sister's kid had come running up to him. They were living on the Lower East Side. This little child had come running up to him in what he called an N-rig. And I said, you know that word, I really can't, and especially being high at the time, I said, you know, this really, because it took me to a very bad place. And I said, you know, this is the only thing that my parents ever came down on. You know, we went to all that. And then finally, at the, you know, after 15 minutes when we were pretty much over the bloom of our of our high, I said, now, where were we in the story of this child running up to you? And he said, well, I said, what even is this rig you're talking about? He said, well, it's typical of ghetto mentality, how people keep themselves poor. He said, instead of a diaper that can be washed out and reused, what they do is they take a Wonder Bread bag, plastic bag, cut the sides off, stick the kid in there, and stuff in some paper towels, and then tie it at the waist, and that's what they call an N-rig. So I said, yeah, it's too bad, and we went on with our other things. Many years later...
I'm glad you were high when you heard this story.
Listen, many years later, this is the, this, you don't, you know, you're not understanding yet.
Okay.
Many years later, I'm diapering only. What we now do is pampering my kids.
Uh-huh.
And I say, there is a plastic bag and a paper towel. There it is. And I was too stupid. I got sidetracked on that stupid N-word. If he had just called it a ghetto rig... living out in New Jersey the way we did, we could have gone right to Johnson & Johnson, which they later figured out, too, and said, listen, guys, why don't you put a plastic coating on a paper towel and put some Band-Aids on the side of it and put it for a baby to so you can have throwaway diapers.
I'm getting the picture.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's just how I that's just the N-word.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, and I too feel badly for Ken McIntyre.
It's a very sad passing. A relatively young man who was listed in the paper today as being 69. What did I do? I should actually, even though the services have taken place, Brother Hapsi Selassie shared with me the fact that Dr. Makonda Ken McIntyre was funeralized today at St. James Presbyterian Church, 409 West 141st Street. So the services began at 11 o'clock. I'm sure they're over.
409 West 141st?
Yes.
141st.
141st. Right.
So and, people might still be able to get out there. And
oh, well, even perhaps more important, in lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the Dizzy Gillespie Fund for Jazz Musicians at Englewood Hospital. And you can make checks available to EHMC Foundation Memo to the Dizzy Gillespie Fund. And the address is Englewood Hospital, EHMC Foundation, 350 Engel Street in Englewood, New Jersey. That's Englewood, New Jersey, 07631. And you may attach notes indicating that the donation is in honor of Makonda Ken McIntyre. Okay, thank you for calling.
Right, bye.
It's 1:10 in the New York afternoon, and even more specifically in the WBAI afternoon.
Clayton.
Yes, you're on the
air.
How
you doing? I think it is true that you've been treated scurrilously on the air, and I do trust that you and Utrice's heart is in the right place, and it is reprehensible what I think people have said about you.
Well, let me interject here to say,
you know, that I think is
okay. Then call, please. Let me say this.
Yeah, hello.
I am far less concerned about that than I am with some of the tactics of people here who claim to be progressive individuals,
exactly,
who are using tactics that are too ugly even to describe.
It's Stalinist. It's the classic Stalinist mentality of the extreme left. Not the progressive left. I'm talking about traditional progressive left is different. It's the extreme leftist mentality that you hear, and they're just as fascistic as Nazis, you know. And you're right. I mean, absolutely right. I love what you said. You know, once you criticized Amy about, I mean, it sounded a bit misogynistic, but, you know, why don't you get to have a kid or something?
No, let's be clear now.
No, I'm not criticizing.
No, I know you're not. I know you're not, but I just don't.
She's fanatical. No,
but
no,
let
right.
me, hey, let me say very specifically about this.
Yeah.
The point of that exchange was that Amy Goodman quite frequently speaks to people, and most particularly people she works with, as though they are children. Okay, and she has a very, she can have a very overbearing attitude.
Yes, she can be very strident.
Okay,
done some
all I
program.
Said to her is that I will not be spoken to you as if I am your child.
Okay.
If you want to speak to someone as a child, you should have a child.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood. But you know what? In a sense, I think your comment was still on the money. In my concept, that she is a bit strident sometimes, where, you know, it's like...
You're being charitable.
I know. I am. Kind of a nun for the left, okay?
Right.
You know, extremist at times. Though she's done some fabulous
stuff.
Listen,
I said a moment ago that there were two programs on Democracy Now! This week that were, in my judgment, superlative examples of what radio journalism can
yeah,
be.
I agree.
You know, the people ought not to... let's not throw out the baby with
yes,
the bathwater, so to speak. Listen, I'm going to run. I want to get a piece of music in.
Work,
thank you a lot.
And I appreciate your show. It's real good. Okay.
Hopti Selassie at the controls here with Clayton Riley. We're going to go. We got number 13 up, right? I just want to play a little bit. Is that it? Well, that's three. Oh, okay.